Welcome to the Ghost Gig. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin.
I'm scared by my own theme tune.
Are you comfortable?
No.
Are you unsettled? Sorry, guys. We just had the speakers up really loud. Then we pressed record and it did the Dang. Are you sitting comfortably? Dang! And then we just shat ourselves.
We both screamed. But apart from that, all's good.
Other than that, are you well?
Yeah, I am. I am well. Thank you very much.
Good.
I smell like dog.
You don't smell like dog?
Okay.
You think you smell like dog.
I was in a pub covered in dogs last night, which was lovely.
That sounds like bliss.
I still smell them. yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. I don't smell like dog. I've just showered.
No, you smell lovely.
I know. I'm all shiny
and
beautiful.
Fresh and minty fresh.
Yeah.
All right, there was no need for that.
There was absolutely a need for that. And everyone listening will agree there was a need for that.
They probably smell it through their headphones.
Refreshing scent of... Is it Colgate?
I don't know.
Toothpaste! Toothpaste! Anyway. Gibbering, because it's the morning.
We should mention we went to see Macbeth, didn't we?
We did. We did see Macbeth.
I know a lot of people who listen to this will listen to real life ghost stories. So we were lucky enough to go and see Macbeth, produced by by Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories.
Yes.
And it was really good.
Yeah, opening night. That
really,
was cool.
Really, really good.
That was very cool.
Amazing venue, amazing acting.
We're not going to gush on this for too long,
saying, it was really good. And as someone who doesn't always understand Shakespeare, I thought they did it.
I mean, that is one of the more accessible plays, and it's a horror, which helps. But, it's digestible. It doesn't take 4 hours. You know, it was well presented. I mean, that company did a really good job with that.
Satisfyingly gory as well.
It was, wasn't it?
You know, people's throat being cut and blood packs going everywhere.
And fastidious floor cleaning, which is always important.
We saw Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories scrubbing the floor.
Well, no, because they'd also worked it into the cast as well. Had to scrub the floor. So it's fine.
So yeah, that was really good. And if you do listen to this, Emma, congrats. It was really good, as we said. It was wonderful.
It were a great lush.
Yeah. Moving on. So we are discussing a brand new film today.
We are. This is rare for us.
This is.
But if I like, it's a nice thing to do.
It's another kids' film because we
I know.
But it's supposed to be, isn't it? And it's
family.
I can't.
It's not kids.
I can't resist anything that has Henry Selick's name on.
No, you're quite right. And it's a good thing to pursue generally, isn't it? Emptying the bin.
You can
outside.
Hear that someone's emptying their bottle bin next door to us.
Hello. Yay! Thanks. Thank you.
So we are going to have a look at Wendell and Wilde.
Wendell and Wilde, exactly. This is the new release. It's on
Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Yeah.
Didn't even know it was coming out. It just happened to be on there.
Knew it's coming out because when we were researching Coraline, it was mentioned that he had an up and coming thing, but it didn't give away about too much what it was.
So it's this. So those of you who don't know, it is the same director as Coraline. So
yes.
We're like, oh my god, because Coraline, as you may know, Coraline's one of my absolute favourites. So Wendell and Wilde,
done in a similar style. It has the same kind of. It's the stop motion.
I was going to read the thing. Do you want me to read the thing?
I think you should read the thing, yeah.
Two devious demon brothers, Wendell and Wilde, have to face their arch enemy with the help of nun sister Helly, who is notorious for expelling demons. However, the brothers are not only plagued by her, but also her altar boys. I don't think that's a very good description, though.
Honestly,
it doesn't actually mention the main character.
That's one of the plots. Yeah.
Yes, and this is what we need to
talk.
So
this is going to be the bulk of our
The film actually focuses around a young girl, Kat, who loses her parents at a very young age and is kind of moved around in, you know, various care settings. And when she's a teenager, she is sent to this kind of Catholic school, boarding school, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
By which
and
time
this is squarely the main plot.
She's a sassy teenager. You know, she's got a boombox on her shoulder. She's got Wow, she, you know, dresses all grungy, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's an effortlessly cool punk girl.
And I think it's important to mention she is she's a lady of colour.
Because this is very important.
Oh, of course, and Jordan Peele is involved in this film, of course. So very important to mention that. She meets these two demons and they make a pact that they will bring her parents back from the dead if she brings them to Earth. That is the main storyline, really, isn't it?
I suppose. But it's that is all present in the plot. Mm. Those things happen and so many other things as well.
Yes.
Which cloud
that is
everything.
I think that I enjoyed visually. It was lovely
to
see.
It looks stunning.
Visually. It was like, oh, I've come home. It was lovely.
You know what you're getting with a Henry Selick production, obviously. Yeah. And this is all at play there. If you like his work at all, obviously you enjoyed this, you've probably already seen it, but it's all there. It looks stunning. It is beautifully made. Yeah. It's a different style to the Coraline thing. Obviously, it's similar techniques. They're still using 3D printed puppets, but you can see like creases on the face of the Yast at one point.
Yeah, I was like, what? Because obviously Vince knows about it. I was like, what's the line on some of the characters' faces? And it was where
they change the mouths out to do the different sounds when they're speaking, but they don't hide them in the same way that they do for the character models. And it gives a distinct style to some of the characters' faces.
Only some of the puppets had, not all of them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, visually amazing, soundtrack amazing.
Oh, stunning soundtrack.
So many.
I've made a Spotify playlist of the songs. It's
brilliant.
It's really good.
So good.
You've got Fishbone, you've got Specials.
It was awesome.
X-Ray Specs is prevalent in it.
So many important points and issues in this film, but too many. I got so mixed up with. I feel like they were trying to. Maybe it should have been better as a TV series.
That as one of the first lines in my song. So this is actually based on an unpublished book that Henry Selick has written.
Right. Okay.
And when you realise that, you think, oh, as a book.
Yeah.
This is probably really engaging and cool with this amount of density.
Yeah.
But I said TV series as well. Like, this could have been a really good TV series because honestly, there's so much going on that does require your attention and is very worthy.
It doesn't
fit in an hour and a half.
Every issue they bring up is as important as the next, but there's too many. So you've got racial tension. You've got Kat losing her parents.
Urban decay.
You've got the demons. You've got political tension. You've got a transgender character in there as well. You've got the kind of voodoo aspect of it. There's so much.
There's loads of depth to it.
There's a Donald Trump character in there.
Well, he looks like a Boris Johnson, but yes.
Yeah, I read it. It's supposed to be Donald Trump.
I don't doubt. But
it was just. I just think it's a shame because there were so many really important issues in there, but they all just were so. They were so on top of each other. You're like, what's going on? You know, what am I supposed to be learning?
Well, I do think that. And I'll preface all of this, like, it might come across in maybe both of our songs that we didn't enjoy this. We did, but there's just too much, obviously. But I think in future, my kind of takeaway thought from this perhaps is that if there are younger people who've watched this now or kids who've watched this now, they are going to rewatch it in, say, 10 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to see all the depth that kind of skipped over their head when they were a kid. They're going to think, wow, this is amazing. I think this could be a future cult film.
I feel like, yeah.
But I think right now,
maybe
it feels a bit too claggy.
But I you know, as an adult was going, okay, what, you know, I think I'm reasonably intelligent, but even I was getting lost. Maybe it's one I need to watch a few times to kind of.
I almost rewatched it last night, actually, just to refresh my memory.
While I was in the pub,
I thought each of the plots is really well, it is good.
Yeah.
And actually does deserve its a proper breathing space.
That's
but it's
it.
Not given it.
That's it.
It's rushed through and the pacing kind of suffers as a result. You kind of end up with about four narratives, prominent narratives, all vying for your attention. And
and it's so important because when do you ever see, I mean, a young girl of colour being the main heroine in a stop animation kids horror film?
I mean, very specific, but actually you're right. There's lots of things there which...
Yeah.
It's lots of layers of Outcast.
But that when I was
distilled,
reading up, you know...
And it's really... It's well done, actually, the tone of it.
Yeah, and I love Jordan Peele's work, you know, and he's bringing people of color right into the forefront, which is, you know, so needs to be done because horror films is usually, you know, white teenage girl or, you know, whatever, or white family.
Yep.
It so needs to be done, but as we said, there was so much going on. I think I you know, worry it got a bit lost, or all the issues were very important, but there were too many,
and I think they were handled with the right kind of intellectual aspirations as well. Like, this there's really good thought here, but it just gets muddled, unfortunately. But there's just so many things which there's a certain expectation and it subverts it in a really enjoyable way.
Yeah.
Again, adding to the density further. Mm. You know, she looks like she's one of the Nova twins.
Yeah.
Her parents actually reminded me of like the older characters in Soul. They should be into jazz, but actually they're into punk. But that's absolutely fine. It's the same tone. Like, honestly, that's just a skin. It's a facade, and that's fine.
I love Soul. I love Soul so much.
It's really good, but like it's unintentional. I'm quite sure. But like there's her dad character looks like the elderly guy in Soul a little bit, or reminded me a bit of Errol.
Yeah.
And so you think, oh, jazz? No.
No punk.
And it all sits tonally. It all sits really well.
Yeah.
There's an X-Ray Specs song, which basically is her remembering her parents. It's Germ-Free Adolescence comes on a lot in this film. I reference it a bit.
You were a lot
song.
More to, up to date with the music
the
than I was.
The songs were great.
It was. It was very funny as well.
It is very funny.
Very funny. Where the demons live, they live on this kind of demon fairground, which is on the back of the baddie in the film. Oh yeah, the baddie. We haven't mentioned the baddie.
They live on the scalp.
Yeah.
Just trying to explain this. This is going to make no sense really, but they live on the scalp, replanting hair follicles.
Yeah.
It's not the devil, but it's a large demon.
Yeah.
And on his belly is a fairground where he torments souls.
Yeah.
And you just go with it. Because honestly, you're kind of watching.
But again, like,
yeah, fine.
A really fun detail like that, again, is a bit lost because of everything else that's going on. Because it's a really fun detail, but it's obviously not, you know, you've got really serious, important issues to think about too here. So I don't know. I feel like they just crammed it a bit. And because you've got Selak and Peel both putting in their ideas, and they're both geniuses. But maybe, as I said, it would have been better as a series to give each issue the proper attention it needed.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, there is too much going on. But I will say this doesn't always translate to visually. Visually, I think the storytelling's really on point.
Mm.
It's a Henry Selick, obviously, so he knows what he's doing. There's enough points where the characters are... They're always... If a scene has lots going on, it's busy and dense, but not in an unenjoyable way. Like, there's always...
No, it wasn't unenjoyable.
It's tactile and nice.
I just feel like I missed bits because I was thinking about other bits. And, you know, I think, as I said, we keep repeating ourselves, but there is a lot of very important things to think about and they get lost.
Yeah. But I did like that there are moments of where it breathes. Brief moments where, like, say the character is an introspective moment and they just go into their heads and the set just disappears and they have a really... The composition just looks...
Yeah.
Removed and plain and simple, so you can just focus on the characters, and they do that, and they deploy it really well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd absolutely, as I said, it sounds like we do like this film. We'd absolutely recommend you watched it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's got much more nuance in it than you expect it to.
Yeah, maybe I'm just slow. Maybe it doesn't make sense.
It should have been a short series.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if yeah, it won't be.
It won't be.
I mean, maybe in a few more years they'll do what they did for Series of Unfortunate Events. This is the sort of the film which started the ball rolling, and maybe in a few years' time they'll make the thing.
They did the Series of Unfortunate Events Netflix series, which was fantastic
and quite different
Loved
to the
it.
Film.
Yeah, but the film this Wendell and Wilde is that film is miles better than the Series of Unfortunate Event film. So
you're right.
Cool. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't know. It's most. I just like the design of it generally. It's all German expressionist. It's beautiful.
Of course, from an animator's point, I'm sure it's an absolute dream.
Visuals, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an animator. But
I'm not going to gush over it too much.
Visually.
I mean, even a screenshot tells you everything you need to know about it. And
which I'm sure we'll put up. I already did put up. Just like the way the characters are designed, they're all pointy, and you know the nuns are really pointy. They're almost like penguins, aren't they?
Absolutely,
it's brilliant. Just brilliant. But the character of Kat and the other students, they're quite soft and you know human looking.
Like, oh yeah.
Whereas the evil characters are more say pointy and sort of beast like looking.
All of that design is well executed and it does work well. Yeah, it's nice to have a children's fable with a strong political message in it. And it's cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel off brand, if that's the way to look at it. Like, it feels in keeping.
Yeah. And it's one of those films where they've got quite a few villains. So you've got the obvious villain of the demon who's got the fairground on his stomach. And then you've got the political villains as well.
Well, those guys are the villains, but I don't think they're the bad guys. I mean, Wendell and Wilde, the titular characters, actually want to build a theme park.
Yeah.
They want to build a theme park. This is their motivation.
Yes.
Build a new theme park on a different tummy that's going to be nicer for the afterlife.
Yeah, which is sweet.
Even though they're demons. So they're doing all these, you know, they're raising the dead and things so that they can raise the money to build their own theme park to treat souls who've passed away and give them something nice. And
they have,
that's bizarre. They're the bad guys, but sort of.
Well,
they're
good demons, really, aren't they? It's
the
demon they live on, which is he's the asshole.
I would say the true villains are the humans in this, the Donald Trump, Boris Johnson figure, and his wife. They're obviously the real demons, and they're the ones who the main struggle ends up being against.
Yeah.
Money is evil.
Yes.
Yeah, really, it's a bit blunt, but it works.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we've covered everything. We would definitely recommend to watch, by the way.
But it's child safe, but your kids are not going to understand most of what's going on. But there's nothing too terrifying in there for children.
Go in with a focused mind to try and get all the different messages.
None of the plots are too difficult. But they should have been broken up a little bit. They could have been given space to breathe, perhaps.
Cool. Do you want to play your song then?
I was going to say, do you want to do your song? Just because we always do mine first.
I don't mind. Yeah, you can play mine first.
Tell you what, we're going to put a song on and you're going to work out who it is by who's singing.
Who's it going to be?
Who's going to be? Gonna be
when your way through, what path will you choose? Wickedly good soundtrack, but the plot, where the hell do I begin? There's an important message here, but I fear it got a little lost. So many ends we need to tie up, and I got my wires crossed. To keep track. Good luck with this one, kids. Or maybe my memory's just crap. When your way through, what path will you choose? Close your eyes, bow your head, raise your bearings from the dead. When your way through, what path will you choose?
Pretty much what I've just said. So
yeah, that's fair. I've realised now we've probably made some similar points.
Yeah.
I mean, we were watching it together. It's likely we had similar thoughts at the time.
How clever am I, though, using the word wend?
Absolutely, absolutely. I didn't do any clever wordplay like that, I'll be honest. But you are going to hear some similar themes in the lyrics, I'm afraid.
We used to have really different opinions about these films, and now we're just like...
I know, what's
yes,
happened?
I agree. Yes, definitely, Vince. Yes, I agree with you. Let's move on.
We got to try harder.
Yeah, we have.
We got to try harder. Yeah. We have to watch something a bit more divisive.
And you're all welcome if you've got that stuck in your head now.
Well, it's after chords. Watching this film, I actually had X-ray specs stuck in my head. Yeah. Germ Free Adolescent. It's a song they use a lot. And you'll hear that in my song, I'm afraid.
You haven't just ripped off Hit the Road, Jack.
No, also, no. Yeah.
Well, I was playing it... I was doing Hit the Road Jack / Wade in the Water with a lady I was working with. And I was thinking, after I'd done that session, I was coming home trying to write the song. And I was thinking, I can't get chords for these lyrics. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, I'll just use that.
To be honest, it doesn't sound too similar. But I mean, that's used in so many songs. It's like descending
loads of songs chord sequence.
And that's fine because it sounds cool.
Feeling good so, as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's hear yours.
Yeah, I suppose we should. Okay, hang on.
Is my memory failing me? Maybe it should have been a series with so many loose ends to tie up. Guess if they hang you, at least we can raise you back up. A complicated world that's fun to go through, but with too many plot threads to sing a song to. You're confused, but don't confuse me. Seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. Because I'm not a kid, You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. And your soundtrack held me. Your story's convoluted, but gleefully grim. Overstuffed, but with a light tongue to keep things moving. Too much is going on, it's all vying for room. Fasted by the great soundtrack and visuals. A complicated world that's fun to go through. But with too many plot threads to sing a song to. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. Because I'm not a kid. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. And your soundtrack held me. A film for those you're peculiar. With almost pantomime sense of humour. The bad guys are the villains in this tale. I guess on Earth there are worse things than demons. A complicated world that's fun to go through. But with too many plot threads to sing a song to. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. Because I'm not a kid. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. And your soundtrack held me. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. Because I'm not a kid. You're confused, but don't confuse me. You seem a bit lost, but didn't lose me. And your soundtrack held me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much said the same things, didn't we?
We have said some similar things. Yeah.
Well, you know, we are obviously great minds think alike.
Yeah. Something of that ilk.
You want us to be at each other's throats over these?
No,
films,
no, I don't. Especially not for people's entertainment. But
just to sound me.
It would
strangling.
Be a little more perhaps engaging for people to listen to if we had differing opinions. But yeah. In this particular instance, I think we actually. I'm glad we chose it. I'm glad we saw it. I want to watch it again. Not just yet, but I
just feel, yeah, I'd like to actually understand all of the messages and educate myself with everything that was addressed in the film, because I don't feel like I got it all the first time around. So, but that's good. It was
okay.
It was,
okay. Yeah, that's a bit. I
without sounding like an idiot.
I want to see things I might have missed.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I probably did miss details and stuff because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, because I did do a Peter Griffin.
Oh, yeah. What's that Christmas thing he does?
La, 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 la.
Oh, here comes Jesus, and he doesn't look too happy.
La, 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 la.
Sorry, it's November.
That sounded
now,
more like
so
Muppets.
I'm gearing up for Christmas.
All well, right. It is your birthday first, it's so we should take that off before we worry about Christmas.
But then full on Christmas.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right, sorry, back to the podcast.
yeah, horror things, nasty stuff.
Would you like a story?
I would like
a
story.
Would you like a story before you go to bed? It's 10 to 11 in the morning.
It's 10 to 11.
I say when
it's
you go to
Saturday.
Bed. Oh. I think you've got too overexcited.
I probably have got too overexcited. How about I mix the songs first and then check the episode over before I put it out?
Yes, do your work and then you can go to
and then
bed.
Okay.
Right, well, I have a story for you, amazingly. And
I mean, you often do.
I do. And this is focusing around the Catholic Church because...
Oh, I see the link.
You do. So as we mentioned before, Kat ends up at this Catholic school.
Yeah.
Run by nuns.
Yep.
So I thought
who
I'd
quite funny,
have a little delve into the Catholic Church, and I came across an absolute gem of a story.
So, I mean, there's probably quite a lot of horror stories in the Catholic Church.
Lot.
And I'm guessing most of it's not really the right tone for this...
Well, we could do. Yeah, there were.
This
loads
is. I'm curious to see where we're going.
So yeah, I'm sure we will cover some of the other ones at some point.
Yeah.
There's no reason they'd be unsuitable. Oh, right. I got you. No.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of history.
I mean,
with
paranormal
Church.
Stuff. There's a lot of paranormal stuff.
Oh yeah.
Right. So, are you ready?
Hang on. Let me just adjust. Instead of sitting on my
people
foot.
People don't want to know about you adjusting, Vince.
I'm just sitting. I was sitting on my foot, and now I'm not. And now the feeling is returning to several of my toes.
Oh, good. You can do a little.
Does anyone else sit on their feet?
No.
They might. One woman at work does. She keeps sitting on one of her feet.
She's as silly as you, then.
Well, probably.
So
let us know if you sit on your feet.
Yeah, I do. We don't hear from people anyway. We don't hear from people anyway, let alone people telling us how they sit. I mean, maybe they will. I don't know.
It's not discussed very often.
I came across someone yesterday on a paranormal podcast page who was asking for podcast recommendations, and I put the ghost gig, and they put back saying, I love these guys, but I wish they're a bit more consistent. And I was like, yeah, this is my podcast. Sorry about that.
To be fair,
know who we are.
To be fair, I mean, that's not a fair criticism.
No,
that is a fair criticism.
He was lovely. I had a chat with him. He was lovely. Anyway, sorry, I need to get on with this. So hi, if you're listening. Thank you for listening.
Hello. Do you remember the person's username or something? Or,
not off the top of my head.
You know what? They're going to know who they are.
Thank you for listening, and this should come out on time.
It's going to.
Yes. So, Catholic Church, are you ready?
Yes.
Then let's begin. The St. Nicholas Croatian Roman Catholic Church opened in the early 1900s in western Pennsylvania. This was to accommodate the influx of Croatian immigrants into the area. A few decades later, this very much anticipated church was avoided by most of the Croatian community. It was said that ghosts lurked among the disturbing murals that decorated the sacred walls. These murals had been created by the world-renowned artist Maxo Vanka. Vanka was hired to beautify the church after it had fallen into a state of disrepair due to a fire in 1921. The pastor at the time was Father Albert Zagar and was a huge fan of Vanka's work. Vanka himself...
Scoring really highly for the names in this story already. Okay. I'm really enjoying those. I think that's good.
Oh, well, you know.
There's some great names. Please continue.
Thank you so much. I mean, it wasn't me that named them.
I know.
Vanka himself already had a big European following, and he seemed the ideal man to transform the church to its former glory. Vanka had been deeply affected by his time fighting in the First World War. The horrific memories of blood-stained fields and the moans of the dying featured heavily in his artwork. He painted depictions of his experiences in the church, his point being that faith in God was the only remedy for such horror. I'm not being funny, though. If you go to it,
You're not being funny when you start laughing. And we've just talked about World War One.
No. That's not funny. I'm just saying, if you go to the church for solace and to get some peace, and you're trying to pray, but we don't go to church, but seeing all that beautiful, I'm sure, but really disturbing images on the wall. It's supposed to be quite inspirational.
It can't be when the light shines through it.
It just can't be very relaxing, that's all I'm saying. And it's on the walls. The light's not going to shine through it. It's on the walls. It's not windows.
It's to decorate the place. We don't want to... I don't know.
Just saying. I'm sure it's stunning, but it wouldn't make me feel relaxed. Sorry.
I'm not sure relax is quite what they're going for, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, carry on.
You want to find peace, don't you? Vanka insisted on working only at night when the church was still and silent. This way, he could be alone with his somewhat dark thoughts and creativity. It was during one of his very first sessions...
I can relate.
Yeah. One of his very first sessions of painting that he began to hear strange noises. At first, he assumed he was just imagining them. After all, he was working all alone at night in a church. He brushed them off, ignored them, and focused on his work. Then, on the fourth night at work, Vanka looked up to see a dark figure about 30 metres away from him. It looked like a robed man standing, waving his arms above his head. Vanka assumed it was Father Zagar. He could, after all, hear the pastor's dog barking somewhere outside the building. Can't he pray enough in the daytime? Maxo thought, grumpily. It's not a good time of day to be in the church. Anyway, the place was cold and damp. Maxo, who was wearing two shirts, was shivering. He painted on, determined to make his Madonna and Child a masterpiece. Which it is, apparently.
I'm sure you'll share a picture of it.
Maxo Vanka finished around 2 a.m. and he went to meet the father for a hot drink. I saw you in the church, said Vanka, trying not to sound too frustrated.
I haven't... Don't watch me! Don't watch me!
Don't look at me!
I can't do it when there's anybody watching!
I'm sure he sounded exactly like that.
I'm sure he had a high-pitched voice just like that.
Yeah.
So he's just said, I saw you in the church.
Yes, yeah.
I have not been in the church all evening, replied the father.
I think I saw that coming, but yeah. I still enjoyed it.
Vanka frowned, but didn't say any more on the matter. He was tired, and his imagination had clearly got the better of him.
Absolutely.
A few nights later, though, Vanka looked down from his scaffolding to see a figure pass by in long black robes, its hooded head bent towards the ground. Vanka rubbed his eyes and squinted down. The figure was still there, mumbling low under its breath and making gestures with its hands. Again, Vanka wondered if it was Father Zagar playing tricks, or possibly just wandering around the church quietly so as not to disturb him. As the figure disappeared through the door, Vanka climbed down the ladder and headed out of the church. The figure vanished into the night, but Vanka had a plan. He took himself off over to the father's living quarters. He let himself in silently and was met by the sight of the father sleeping deeply in bed. Vanka shook the other man awake. There was someone in the church, he told Zagar. Do you have a habit of sleepwalking? He'd have to be pretty quick, wouldn't he, to get back to...
Sleep dash.
Sleep dashing. do you have a habit of sleepwalking? The father gulped and swallowed. I don't sleepwalk.
Well, how would he know?
I don't know. Well, maybe someone's told him they've seen him around.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't sleepwalk, he said, still groggy from sleep. But I have been told by many people that ghosts have been seen in the church. Vanka's mouth fell open. You cannot expect me to believe this, he answered. Then he met the father's eyes. The Catholic community are very frightened, Zagar whispered. They argue over who the ghost is or what it is. I've never seen it myself and I didn't wish to frighten you. Vanka was still doubtful, however, and the two men agreed that from now on Zagar would sit below the scaffold while Vanka worked. The next night, the two men entered the church.
So he can do it and there's people watching. That's good.
Apparently.
He's learned.
Oh, yeah, apparently. Or maybe maybe he's just not allowed to look at him. Just
yeah, maybe.
Keep his eyes
just
focused.
No
on
eye the... contact.
The guy has got weird.
Got weird? You're talking about a guy called Vanka.
Oh, my God, I didn't even realise that.
Vanka and Zagar. I don't know what Zagar is, but I don't know. It sounds like an Urban Dictionary
don't
kind
Google
of thing.
Google Vanka and Zagar. You don't know what
it's probably absolutely fine. But yeah.
So the next night, the two men entered the church. Vanka was still quite shaken by his previous night's experience. However, the father had completely composed himself. He even began to tease Vanka and made a few jokes about the so-called ghost. Then, the strange noises began, and the smile on Zagar's face slowly disappeared. When the sound carried on, he walked towards it, summoning all the courage he had. He called loudly,
"If you are a ghost, if you are a dead man, go with God. Peace to you. I'll pray for you, only please don't bother us."
As the father spoke these words, Vanka looked over to the fourth set of pews. His blood ran cold with fear. This time, he could see the robed man far more clearly. He was a very, very old man with a long face and ice-white skin. Waving his arms, the figure slowly disappeared. The father...
But both arms, not like waving as in cooey.
Hello! No, I think kind
I've
of...
I've got a horrible picture of him dancing the YMCA or something. I feel like that's really not what we're going for.
No, I think like, you know, like really manically waving his arms.
Okay.
Not doing the YMCA. I mean, he's very ahead of himself there if he is.
Mm.
pay attention.
I'm thoroughly paying attention.
So Father Zagar had not seen the figure for himself. He'd heard the strange noises, but he still wasn't convinced by Vanka's claims of seeing the ghost. After the two had finished, the father had retired to bed. He was awoken sometime later by a strange yet familiar noise. As he sat up, a cold sweat broke out on his brow as he realised where he had heard the noise before. It was the noise he'd heard in the church with Maxey Vanka. Again, he spoke out loud and told the presence that he would pray for him, but please, please leave the church be. It did not seem that the ghost was agreeable to his suggestion.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, so I'm going to fuck off. That's where I hang out.
I love her. Leave me alone. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Okay, that's the last time I'm going to make any kind of joke about that.
It's one of the village people.
Well, is it a village?
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
The next night, the father entered the church. Vanka was yet to arrive, and as Zagar was waiting, his ears picked up those oh-so-familiar sounds. He looked up and gasped. Gliding down from the altar was the white-faced man in the long black robes. He approached the church's eternal flame, a flame that had been burning continuously for 8 years. This is a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
As the ghost passed by it, it flickered and died. In that moment, I know. In that moment, the father became a believer in the ghost of St. Nicholas Catholic Church. Vanka was determined to carry on with his work. He now came to paint with the sense that there was something evil within the church walls. But the visitations and noises were now so regular that he began to stuff balls of cotton into his ears. And to prevent him from seeing the ghost, he would put blinders of old newspaper in the corner of his vision. Quite clever.
I mean, that sounds pretty unpleasant to have to paint under those conditions.
By now, the rumour mill around town had cranked into action. Many said that Vanka was able to see the dead man due to his horrific experiences on the battlefield. So, who was the ghost? Who was the ghost, Vince?
It wasn't the guys with the cool name.
No. No, they were alive at this point.
Mm.
The usual rumour was that the ghost in the church was a spirit of a previous parish priest. Previous parish priest. Try saying that when you're drunk.
Yep.
And St. Nicholas. He was a lazy, unfeeling man. Perhaps the reason he haunted the church was to make up for the sins of his lifetime. And so I suppose kind of just doomed to wear forever to be in the church.
I suppose
after
so.
Not doing his duties properly, I suppose.
Perhaps.
Whoever the ghost turned out to be, it did not let Vanka stop him from completing his work. His mural can still be seen today and has become one of the most famous in the world. It is beautiful and haunting, full of Vanka's memories and fears. And perhaps his silent friends in the black robes are still there, admiring the nightmarish church walls.
Bet they don't like it.
Yeah.
I liked what was there before.
What, a fire? It got burnt down. Well, not burnt down, but maybe destroyed. I mean, that kind of shabby chic look, you know. They have it
it's
in
not really the Catholic Church kind of visual.
I was thinking, if anyone's an
it?
Absolutely fabulous fan, there's an episode where the house gets burnt down and Patsy comes in and sort of, Eddie says, oh, we're redecorating. And Patsy also looks fabulous, darling. Because they haven't actually done anything to it. It's just burnt.
So you've gone from a horror story set in a church to Ab Fab in a handful of seconds.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you. Aww.
That's why I'm having a proud moment.
That's fabulous, darling. Shabby chic. that's a really interesting story. And
I hope
yeah.
we see some pictures of this painting. Because I mean, if it's painted under duress by the sound of it, or you know. Unpleasantness. That sounds like it's going to give quite a spin to the.
I mean, obviously, I looked at
to the thing.
I have looked. The pictures are pretty intense and haunting. It's clearly come from a disturbed mind, a very gifted and creative disturbed mind. But you know, yes, not easy to look at some of it.
Ah, okay.
He would have gone through some absolute horror. I can imagine fighting in World War One.
Yes.
And it sounds like he was a pretty. Sensitive individual before that as well.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah.
So he's a very interesting character, Maxo Vanka, to have a look at. Very, very interesting man. So.
Oh, okay.
It's an interesting, you know, it's if it wasn't for the priest seeing the ghost as well, you probably just think the poor man's unwell and he's hallucinating. But the priest saw the ghost too. So interesting.
Well, other townsfolk sounds like they had as well.
Yeah.
Or heard enough
that's
of they,
it, yeah.
you know, their neighbourhood or whatever. So yeah, okay,
yeah.
sounds interesting. At least it's a cool urban legend, if nothing else. So
yeah,
like,
I mean, the hooded man in the robes, you know, it's not a monk, but it's a similar, you know, the hooded monk, that kind of ghost,
some kind of clergyman of some
yeah,
kind, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be, you know, and that would make sense if it was a previous priest who had been, you know, a bad priest.
Yeah, yeah. Atoning for his sins.
Atoning
as you said.
For his sins. That's it. That's what I was trying to say. I think that's it, though. I think
yeah.
Did you enjoy the story?
Yeah, thank you for that.
Are
that
you scared?
Was I would be if I were in that church at night, well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and every time I do these stories, I always it's late afternoon.
I don't think the point of a horror story is to feel scared.
Yeah, but I get, and I always freak myself out because it's often dark. You know, I'm here on my own, and I sort of, and we've got a long narrow corridor in our flat, so
we
sort of come out of here or the living room, and like, I need the loo, but I'm scared of going down the corridor.
And quite often, when you're in here at night, you know, a floorboard creaks or pops, or actually, sometimes I hear a knocking noise.
No, you don't.
No, from I think it's from beneath or something. It's probably someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the evening. Like, I think they've gone home.
Oh.
Oh well.
We should probably explain that we live above a we live above a funeral office, and it's nothing to do with the podcast. It's nothing to do with us liking horror. It just happened. You should not be hearing knocking noises in the middle of the night.
We can't wake anyone up. That's what we were told when we moved in. We can make as much noise in the evenings and weekends as well, because we're not going to wake anyone up if they're down there.
Why are you hearing knocking noises in the evening?
As I say, it could be hot water pipes or floorboards, because this is an old building.
Yeah. Anyway.
We could cut all this bit out to see how we feel about it.
Well, I think people might quite like hearing that we heard a knocking noise last night. I wasn't here, so I can't.
No.
Oh, but you were all kind of like on the sofa.
No, I was trying to record the song, and
oh, so you were just like, oh, shut up, ghost.
I didn't say anything. I was just a bit annoyed. That's often been my reaction to like unexplained noises. Oh, go away. Remember back to the first episode when I told second episode of stories. At the time, it's not scary, just vaguely irritated.
Yeah. The ghost, the robed man's just coming down the corridor. Things like, can you move, please? I need a shower.
Yeah, someone says, "Nyaff off."
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to be here, that's fine, but can you go into another room, please?
Can a robed man look deflated? Probably.
Anyway, I think that's enough of us blabbering on.
It's absolutely enough of us blabbering.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. As usual, please
thank you.
Get in touch with us.
Send us a message if you sit on your feet or you have a horror story. It's the usual email address.
Ghostgiguk@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Ghostgiguk@gmail.com. And I'm getting mixed up because I've actually started another podcast with my mum.
Go on. Shameless plug. You get this once.
If any of you watch Coronation Street, which probably you don't.
I don't.
No. But my mum and I have started a little weekly podcast about Coronation Street. I don't even care. Because
Your mum has been on the Ghost Gig a few times. Yeah. And, you know, it's quite fun. So I don't.
Yeah, and I'm not even.
If it wasn't for the subject matter, I'd probably listen as well. I don't know the stories you'd be talking about, so it's not going to really work.
We chat about what's going on. We also do little quizzes, and generally just are hugely sarcastic about the whole thing. If you watch Coronation
Street, sounds ideal, right?
The episodes are 20 minutes long, and we've been told they're quite entertaining. There's only two out at the moment, but yeah, give it a listen. The Corrie Club, we're called.
The Corrie Club.
But back to the ghost gig. Yep, you can email us, find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Absolutely.
Drop us a message. We always love hearing from people.
It doesn't have to be a message. It can be a pointless, uncontexted GIF or something like that. I'm absolutely fine with any of them.
Cool. Yeah, honestly, if you just got, someone once sent me a picture of their cigarette box, which was in the shape of a Ouija board. Fantastic.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, please contact us. We are very friendly and we don't bite.
We do not.
No. I think that's it then.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, everyone. We'll see you in two weeks.
Take care till next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.